Our text in the Psalms. It's a joy to be back in Tabernacle tonight, assembled around this precious book, the Word of God. And we appreciate you that have come in visiting tonight to support the meeting. We do not take your presence here for granted, but we thank you for being here. We have been preaching on one particular subject since Monday night. We have been looking at various and sundry people in the Bible and their relationship with a tree. And we've been preaching on the subject of being rightly related to the tree. We began with Adam and Eve, and we found them behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. They had fallen and could not get up. They could not get to God. God had to come to them. And so all of their ancestors, including you, were born in the same state. And then on last evening, we looked at Elijah, and we found him under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. Tonight I want to turn our attention, I believe, in these five sermons, this may be the hub of importance in this series. And I'd like to look at Psalms 1 tonight. And I'd like to look at David tonight. He said he was like a tree. He was like a tree. And it was the tree of the fruitful. The tree of the fruitful. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, if God was to offer you tonight a foolproof program in which you could be successful in everything you do and never fail, would you be interested in such a program? He says that he offers such a program, if you'd be interested in it. Notice what David said about it. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree." There's our little subject tonight. David said he was like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Surely David is not going to step out on this limb, is he? Certainly this is a limb that could be quickly sawed off. David does step out on this limb and make this statement. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Wow. I don't know about you. I'll not testify for you. I'm interested already, because I have been more of a failure than I have of a prosperer. I was thinking about this tree of the fruitful. David's like a tree. As we begin to unpack this subject tonight, I would draw our attention first of all to the planting of this tree. The planting of this tree. In verse number 3, David gives us the procedure of the planting. He says, "And he shall be like a tree planted." I was extremely interested in that little word, planted. It is our little word, transplanted. Means to violently root something out of one place and stick it in another place. I was wondering tonight, not asking you if you've been down to Romans Road, to German Road, to French Road, not asking if you made a profession, prayed a sinner's prayer, joined the Baptist church, wrote your birthday in front of your Bible. Hell, I'll be full of people that did that. I was wondering if you've got any historical recollection of God ever ripping you out of one world and sticking you in another world. It's called biblical salvation. Wow. David said he was like a tree planted. Transplanted is the little word. I was interested in that little thought of transplant. I was wondering if the Bible would bear it out. If you've got your Bible tonight, of which I hope you do, holding our finger there in Psalms 1 and quickly, just for a second, turning over to Paul's writings in Romans chapter number 11. Paul makes this statement, chapter 11 and verse 17. He says, "And if some of the branches being broken off, and thou," just talking to them old Gentiles, the offscouring of the earth. He says, "And if thou being a wild olive tree were," there's that little word, "transplanted" again, taken from one place and stuck in another place. Paul makes the statement here that when he found you and I, we were a wild olive branch. It's an interesting statement. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It is our little word, dead stick. No green on either end. It's just brown. Just sort of crunchy. There ain't nothing going to sprout out on it. How come? It's dead. He said, "When I found you," you wouldn't stick your thumbs in your lapel and say, "Look at me, I'm a dead stick. Isn't that wonderful?" No. He said, "When I found you, you were a dead stick." And he said, "I grafted you in." He said, "You're not bearing the root." He said, "The root's bearing you." You're not glorying in the branch. Oh, no. You're glorying what you've been grafted into. Love the hound out of that, don't you? I'm asking you tonight, do you have any historical recollection of God ever ripping you out of the world of darkness and sticking you in the world of light? Have you any historical recollection of being dead? God ripping you out of the world of deadness and sticking you in the world of life. You say, "Preachers, best I can remember, I have no remembrance of that." Would you make yourself a little note for something to think about later? I'm going to hell when I leave here. Because you must have been planted like a tree. But watch the text. Not only do we see the procedure of the planting, but in Psalms 1, I notice the place of the planting. Did you know that God plants all His trees in the same place? Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, He said He plants them all in the same place. Did you notice where He said He plants them all? He said He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. I didn't know if you'd see that S or not. I thought I'd underline it. Of water. That little phrase, rivers of water, that is the headwaters where all water flows out. What in the world's He want to plant all His trees by the headwaters for? Because if And that's a big if tonight. I don't know your heart. But if He's planted you, He planted you with an extreme thirst for water. Boy, it's so thirsty. Well, what in the world is the water? Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5 that He might sanctify us and cleanse us by the washing of the water of the... Wow. The Word of God. If you're saved tonight, you've ever been transplanted. He said, I stuck you with an insatiable thirst for this book. Honey, would you take your halo off tonight and admit to yourself? I notice a lot of you don't even have a Bible with you. He said, if you don't have no thirst for this book, you ain't going where it's talking about. Are you listening to me tonight? He said, if I saved you, He said, I put up. You get up in the morning. Man, I just got to get me a drink. I'm so thirsty. And it seems like the day won't get over. You get about lunchtime and you say, boy, I'm so thirsty. I just got to get me some more of that book. I'm telling you tonight, you can't fake that. You can tell the preacher you're saved, and he'll even dunk you in a baptismal pool. He'll take your first John and assure you, you got it. But he said, if you got it, you'll have an insatiable thirst for the Word of God. You still with me? You ain't left me yet, have you? I'm just trying to confuse you with the facts of the Bible. I was thinking about this thing of a thirst for the Word of God. Dear preacher friend of mine, he's somewhat up in age and he has been very successful in his ministry. He had 5 young preacher boys come to see him not long ago. They wanted to talk to him about his success in the ministry. See if he could point out to them any blind sides that they might have. 3 of them were already pastoring. They were young pastors. 2 of them were in Bible school. They were fixing to graduate and take a church. They were sitting around in a little circle. My old preacher friend sat down and exchanged some pleasantries with them. Found out what they wanted. His first question out of the gate. He says, has any of you ever read your Bible from cover to cover? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. He said, all 5 of them did this. My preacher friend said he stood up. He said, there's no need of me and you talking anymore. He said, you don't know your textbook. If you're here tonight and you're a preacher and you've never read your Bible through, quit it. Quit it tonight until you know your text. The least you can do is read it from cover to cover. Are you listening to me tonight? David said, if He has stuck you, give you an insatiable thirst for this book. I was thinking about this thing of thirst. I was thinking about us-ins tonight. If you're here tonight and you've been saved for a year or more and you've never read your Bible through, could I speak to you in the language of Barney Fife? Shame. Shame on you. I was thinking about, we're so much wanting a revival. Get them heathen out there straight. Hon, we don't need a revival out there. We need a revival in here. You listening to me? Oh, Al Mohler at Southern Seminary last year, he wrote an article. The title of the article was Biblical Illiteracy. Just put it in our ordinary terminology. People who are stupid about the Bible. He did a survey of 1,000 people like us-ins that say, bless God, we believe a Bible. That's who he talked to. He asked them some very simple questions. One question he asked them, he says, do you believe that this statement is in the Bible? 75% of the 1,000 people said they believed this statement was in the Bible. God helps them that help themselves. Wow. Sounds sort of scriptural, don't it? Small problem. It ain't in the Bible. Matter of fact, it's anti-Bible. Why in the world would God have to help you if you can help yourself? The only people God helps is those that can't help themselves. And He arranges it where you can't help yourself, so you'll have to ask Him for help. It's like a vicious circle. His hand to your mouth. I love it though, don't you? This was an interesting little survey in Dr. Mohler's little survey of 1,000 of us-ins. You know, us Bible believers. He said 65% of them said they believed this, that Noah's Ark and Joan of Arc were husband and wife. Wow. It's a good one, isn't it? It's funny, ain't it? I was wondering if you would think this one was funny. He asked all the 1,000 people like us-ins, how much time every day did they spend in their Bible? And he totaled it up and took a sum and a ratio of the total. Now he surveyed people that crazy people like me spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day in the Bible. You crazy people. He just throwed them, some of them in there too. And he just common folks like everybody. Here's what he found. On an average, us-ins, we spend 3 minutes a day in the Bible. Wow. Wonder what's wrong with America? It ain't Obama. It's right here. We really don't believe the Bible's the Bible. And I fear it's deeper than that. I fear a lot of us that think we're saved ain't never been planted. Because if He planted you, you've got to... Shoot me, I'm just thirsty. Man, I got to have some Bible. I'm so thirsty. I just got to have some. Go further with me in the text. Not only the planting of the tree, but watch the practice of the tree. The practice of the tree. I notice in chapter 1 and verse 2 of Psalms, there is a bending practice. He said, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is another of David's titles for the Bible. He said, if He's planted you, your delight. I was interested in that little word, delight. It is the little word, the highest point of fun and pleasure. Somebody says, boy, I tell you, I want to have some fun. For the person that has been planted, he'll say,
Give me some of that. Boy, it's fun. What pleasure. What pleasure. See, there's some of you sitting here tonight. You find this here somewhat boring. I can see by your demeanor. If you find this boring, you won't enjoy heaven. You would be more comfortable in a warmer climate. Because this is what we're going to do forever. Dear preacher told us this morning we'll probably study this book for eternity. You know what I said about that statement? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. I said, amen. This book is so deep and so vast, it'll take us all of eternity to plummet its depths. Are you listening to me tonight? Watch that little word, delight, now. The little word always also means once bent. What he's leaning towards. Do you find yourself constantly projecting to the world that you are leaning towards the Word of God? One's bent. I was thinking about what we project. You know, most of us, we project here. We're holy. Oh, gracious. Take our halos off and maybe cut the lights out later and we'll put them all on and watch them glow. I was thinking about that projecting thing. I got a good old Grace preacher friend in Arkansas. His grandma raised him. And his grandma's old Pentecostal lady. He said grandma took him to church every Sunday. She went every service. And he said almost every service, he said granny would shout the bobby pins clear out of her hair. And he said, granny, he said, she'd almost every service speak in tongues. He said, I never could understand her when she spoke in tongues. He said, now granny cussed in English at the house. Wow. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, do you cuss in English? You know, blowing horns at people is horn cussing. Slamming doors when you're unhappy. Slamming door cussing. See, tonight, if God has changed you with transplanting, your bent is towards changed life. You can't fake it, hon. You can't make it up. It's either there or it ain't. The bending practice. I was thinking about that thing of a tree because David really doesn't tell us here what kind of tree it is. But he does in other of his Psalms tell us what kind of tree we're like. And I got to thinking about, just for a second, I'll throw this out. You can meditate on it if you want to. Psalms 92. I love this little illustration that David gives. A bending practice now. Psalms 92 verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the what? He said we're like palm trees. No big deal about being a palm tree. Oh, it's a big deal. If you plant a palm tree, it'll immediately begin to put roots in the ground. In search of something. I know some of you think it's in search of water. No, it's not. It's in search of a rock. Wow. Seems like somewhere I heard that Jesus said he's a rock. Once they find the rock, they wrap all of their roots around the rock. And then they begin to send out tentacles in search of what? Water. They're 80% water. But you know, I was thinking about them palm trees. You see them sometimes after them hurricanes have come through down in Florida. It's blowed the whole neighborhood away. And them palm trees are standing where the house used to stand with their little branches doing this. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Man, that wind's blowing. It's probably a stage four, about 150 mile an hour wind. That old palm tree had to be at a 45 degree angle with the ground. And when the storm is over, I love that, don't you? He said they got bending practice. They're full of water, wrapped around a rock. Would that be the picture of you tonight? Or are you better illustrated by you wrapped around yourself and you're full of yourself tonight? I'm talking about the practice of this tree. But not only do I see it's got bending practice, I notice it's got a blessed practice. If you're saved, he said he planted you by the rivers of water. You got insatiable thirst. But then he mentions there's a blessed practice. He says in verse number 2, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I was interested in that little phrase, day and night, because it's gotten a bum rap. Some people believe, have a little word in the morning, have a little word at night. I assure you, that phrase does not say that. It is a cliche phrase, and it literally means every wakening hour. Wow. If your eyes are open, David said you ought to be spending some time meditating in the Word of God. Wow. I was interested in that little word, meditate. It's going to put some of you out. You're not going to be able to get in here. It means to think. Ruh-roh. Because a lot of us tonight, we like to do something. Because the little word here, meditate, is our little word, muse, to think. And we like a word that's got muse in it. It's amusement. When you put A in front of the muse, it means no. I love to do things that no thinking, got to think. Hello. Man, let's have some fun. I'm bored with all this stuff. I want to have do something where I don't have to think. You can rest assured of one thing. You ought not to be thinking you're going there when you may very well be going there. You listening to me tonight? That little word, meditate, it's also our little word, ruminate. Ruminate, wow, that's a big old word, isn't it? It's not all that deep. It comes from a cow. It means chew the cud. Wow. Old cow, he'll chew, swallow it down. After a while, he'll burp it back up. Chew on it more. Swallow it. After a while, he'll burp it back up. He'll keep burping it and chewing it until it's just juice. There's no more substance to it. And he swallows it down. And lo and behold, it becomes cow. David said, you ought to get you a little bit of the Word of God every day. And every waking hour, chew on it. Let's take, for instance, maybe God give me a little thought. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to get up tomorrow, begin to chew on that in my mind. The Lord is my shepherd. Swallow it down in my soul. Walk along a little further in my day's activity. Burp it back up in my mind. chew it on it some more. I shall not want. Just swallowing it down in my soul. Burping it back up in my mind. About the time I get ready to go to bed, I done chewed it good. And there's nothing left but just a few juices. And I'll swallow it down one more time into my soul before I go to sleep. And lo and behold, the Word of God becomes me. Are you listening to me tonight? David said, if you're saved tonight, you've been planted. He said, you'll have an insatiable desire, thirst for the Word of God. Matter of fact, preacher mentioned it this morning. That little phrase there, he shall prosper. That's a little phrase from Joshua 1:8. He said, I'll give you success in everything you do. Everything you touch, he said, will prosper. I ain't talking to you no Benny Hinn gospel. You can think you're going to have a Cadillac out in the parking lot when you go out there tonight. I assure you, when you get out there, that junk heap you've got still going to be out there. I'm not talking about that kind of prosperity. I'm talking about God blessing you spiritually everywhere you turn, because you have spent your days meditating, musing, chewing the cud. It is a lost art amongst us that say we want revival. Honey, it ain't coming. It ain't coming until we really begin to believe and live and eat and sleep this book. You listening to me tonight? Could I mention one last little thing? And I'm done. Not only do we see the planting of the tree, the practice of the tree, but I notice the production of the tree. The production of the tree. I notice there's a furthering production. David said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I'm extremely interested in this little phrase here. His leaf also shall not wither. For the one who has been truly planted in Christ, transplanted, not only will he have a thirst, not only will he have a desire to muse and meditate, it's awful deep, I don't know if you can get it or not, he'll always have green leaves. He'll always look like he's alive. I don't know about you, I preach, I don't, you know, maybe 300 nights a year. And I see a lot of people, I even see some here, that if we were to call 911 and say somebody died in here, they would be a hard time figuring out which one it is. Hello. You listening to me tonight? Facial expressions never change. It's like dead people. David said, if you've been planted. You know, I've got two trees in my backyard. Recently, this past winter, one of them died. It needed to be chopped down. But the other one was just going through a winter season. And I looked. I really couldn't tell which one of them was dead and which one of them was alive. I go in services a lot and I can't tell who's saved and who's not. Especially when everybody's doing this. Nobody ever says amen. Nobody ever gives the preacher a little wave or lifts the holy hand to God. You listening to me tonight? He said here, this tree, he said, it'll always have green leaves on it. It'll be like that palm tree. Always looking like it's alive. I don't want anybody thinking I'm dead. Do you? Furthering production. But watch the text. Not only is there a furthering production, there is a fruitful production. He says in verse number 3, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know, a lot of Baptists I talk to think in their relationship as a tree that they got to make themselves bear fruit. It's almost like they have to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do it today. You ever put your ear to the base of an apple tree? You ever heard one of them doing this? Here comes some apples. Finally got some apples out. Never heard no apple tree doing that. It's not any struggle for me to bear any fruit. See, I ain't no fruit bearer anyway. I just hold the fruit. As I meditate and muse in the Word of God, have a thirst for the water of the Word and the good S-O-N to shine on me. The good sap of the Holy Ghost begins to rise up in me and the fruit of His likeness begins to pop out on me. And I ain't struggled for nothing. Matter of fact, I have accomplished more doing nothing than I ever have doing something. Are you listening to me tonight? I love that, don't you? What kind of fruit you bearing? Because you know if you claim to be an apple tree and you got watermelons growing on it, you got trouble, hon. Don't tell nobody, it's awful deep. You ain't no apple tree. You can't fake fruit. You can't fake a thirst. You can't fake reading your Bible every day. You can't fake musing and meditating on the Word of God day in and day out. I was thinking in closing tonight, in the western North Carolina mountains, apple country, around Asheville, Hendersonville. And Red Delicious is their major production there. They have recently created a scientific project there in the western North Carolina mountains. When a Red Delicious tree quits bearing, it's done. They cut it off at the ground, just leaving a stump. And they have successfully done this. They take a crab apple branch. Now, if you like crab apples, go for it. Give me 50 or 60 pounds of sugar, I'll eat crab apples with you. They take a crab apple branch and graft it into the trunk of that Red Delicious that quit bearing. And they paraffin wax it into the trunk. And it begins to grow. And after the appropriate seasons, it'll begin to bear Red Delicious apples. Wow. But they have to keep a close watch on it. They have to keep it pruned back. Because if they don't, it'll get water sprouts on the end of the branches and it'll start bearing crab apples. Gracious, that's the way I was when the Lord found me. I was an old crab apple branch. It wasn't good for nothing. And He grafted me in to Himself, the Red Delicious. And bud, did I ever begin to bear Red Delicious. But I got to keep myself pruned back. Because if I ain't real careful, just real quick like, I'll start bearing crab apples again. Oh, what a God we've got tonight. David was like a tree. He was like the tree of the fruitful. I was thinking about a dear preacher friend. I heard him some years ago. I think he's dead now. I have not had any contact with him in a good while. The night I heard him preach, he was 85. I heard him preach down in Florida. He came to the pulpit and he had two Bibles with him. I was really taken aback right there, because most of the time preacher don't come to a pulpit with two Bibles. He had a regular size Bible like I had, and he had a little, it looked like to me a little Gideon New Testament. But the thing looked awful. I mean, it was all black. Gracious, I could tell by looking, even the pages were black. I'm going to have to read it. And I noticed all the time that he preached, he had that little teeny New Testament in his hand. He kept kissing it. He even now and then would open that little New Testament, kiss the inside of it. I said, man, this guy's crazy. In the world, he want to kiss that little New Testament. The end of his message, he told the story about that little New Testament. His ship sunk World War II in the South Pacific. He was in the water for 3 days, floating, life preserver, and that little Gideon New Testament. That's all he had. And he said for almost 72 hours out there, he memorized it. He said it became a part of him. He said when a ship picked him up, he said he don't remember anything about it. He was delirious. He said, but they said when they picked me up, I was singing at the top of my voice, standing on the promises of Jesus. I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Wow. I don't know about you. I want to be eat up with a desire for this book. I wonder tonight, what is your relationship with this book? A picture of your relationship with Him, pictured by a relationship with this book. If you have no relationship with this book, you have no relationship with Him. If you have a weak relationship with this book, you've got a weak relationship with Him. It may be when you call on Him, He ain't going to be there for you. He said He may even laugh when your calamity comes. Are you listening to me tonight? This is serious business. This is a powerful book. This is His love letter He's left us. I love it. I want to spend more time in it. Would you stand with us tonight? I hate to end a service on a deep, deep theological note. But I was wondering if you would just sort of pet me a little bit and sing this deep church song with me tonight. I don't know if it's awful deep theological song, and I don't even know if you know this deep song or not. It's called the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. Would you just tease me tonight and sing that song with me tonight? The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. Sister's coming. If she can, I would love her to play that song, More About Jesus, Would I Know. If she can, if she can't, that'll be no problem. That song's on page 336. Somebody's phone's ringing and we shouldn't even have cell coverage out here. Let us borrow your phone when we get done. I wonder tonight if you would just be honest tonight and say, preacher, my relationship with my Bible is so weak. Some of you young people tonight, you've been saved for a year or more. Some of you 2, 3, 4, 5. Some of you 8, 9 years. Never have read your Bible through. It's a pity tonight you've never done that. What an embarrassment to God tonight to go to such an extreme to give you such a book We neglect it so much. Some of you here tonight been saved 30 or 40 years. Do not have a consistent relationship with your Bible. Maybe never read it through. I wonder tonight why she plays an old song. I wonder if you want to get around this altar tonight and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry for neglecting your book. Lord, I'd like to make a covenant with you that if you'll help me between now and next July's camp, I'd like to read my Bible through. While we wait a moment or two, the altar's open tonight. Would you come? Would you come? We wait on you. Older folks, isn't it a shame tonight that a young person beat you here to the altar? You know good well in your heart of hearts you've never read your Bible through at all. You have such a weak relationship with it. You should have been the first one down here as a testimony to the younger crowd. But there's still time for you to come. God's jolted you tonight. He's arrested you. Oh, you make all kind of excuses. None of them will hold water in heaven. God's speaking to you about your relationship with your Bible. Why don't you come tonight? Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry for neglecting such a powerful book. I wonder tonight if it's dawned on you that you're lost. You have no relationship with your Bible. You have no thirst. You have no bent towards it. Simply because you're lost. God speaking, God drawing. Would you come? Bow to Him. He's worthy to be bowed to. You that are still standing, would you take your song books, turn with us to page 326. Sing that third verse of this old song with us tonight. Page number 326. Just the third verse. Sing it with us. Here we go. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faith for saying mine. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. She's still playing. Our heads are bowed. Our song books are up. We're not going to get in any hurry tonight. Some of you may were thinking, boy, if He would extend the invitation just a little longer. Almost I'm persuaded to go. Well, here's your opportunity tonight. Preacher, I feel so humiliated I've neglected the Word of God so often. Well, here'd be your opportunity to make it right tonight. Tell the Lord, I'm so sorry for neglecting such a powerful book. While we wait another moment or two while these pray, come. Seek Him.
He can be found. Seek Him with your whole heart. Father, we do thank You tonight in the depths of our hearts for speaking to us tonight. Lord, I'm confident that You have spoken to some, sense no reason or no responsibility to do anything about it right now. Lord, as the night wears on, I pray that this truth would become even deeper, to be like a tree of the fruitful. I thank You for the day that You overwhelmed with an insatiable thirst for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You would put that in the hearts of some of these young people tonight. One of the greatest needs is that we get in the book and do it daily. Have Thine own way in the remainder of these days together. Hold over our beings absolute sway till all upon the altar of sacrifice is laid. It's in Your wonderful name we pray. You're at liberty to quietly leave tonight as these play.